John Kurtz is at Topeka West High School, standing by as the boys and girls will be taking on Topeka West coming up later on tonight. The girls around 6 o'clock, the boys to follow. Should be a couple of good games. We hope you stay tuned to us here on News Radio KMAN for that. In this hour, we will talk about K-State recruiting. We are less than 24 hours away from the announcement of K-State's signing class. There will be a press conference at the Vanier Football Complex tomorrow at 2:30 with Bill Snyder. I will be over there to hear what he has to say. And then at 3 o'clock is the PowerCat Game Day recruiting special. That will take you into coverage of K-State basketball, both the men and the women in action tomorrow night. The men at home, Bramlage Coliseum against TCU. The women will be on the road tomorrow night, and you'll be able to hear that game here on News Radio KMAN. We'll also have You Can't Be Serious coming up later this hour and an update on the Oakland Raiders as they are trying to move to Las Vegas, but that has hit a couple of snags, and all of a sudden it's looking doubtful that Kansas City fans would get an opportunity to attend a road game in Las Vegas, which sounds like an awesome idea to me, but maybe that's not going to be happening anymore. We are joined to start off this hour by Cole Manbeck, our PowerCat Game Day blogger. And Cole, how you answer this first question will determine what questions I ask first, if that makes any sense. So are you more interested in signing day or K-State basketball?
I would probably go with K-State basketball. Signing day with Bill Snyder coach teams, and this isn't a disrespect to Bill Snyder, but it's not too exciting because, you know, there's not too many surprises, and there's not going to be any of those televised recruits out of the guys K-State goes after that are going to be big surprises. So probably the K-State basketball game. I just think the national signing day stuff is over, you know, publicized, and I find it really annoying, honestly, that all of these signings are on TV and the hats and all of that, you know, just stroking these kids' egos. So I sound like the get off my lawn guy. But,
well, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure that Coach Snyder feels the exact same way about it.
Yeah, you know, I'm, you know, showing my maturity here, I guess. You know, maybe I would feel differently if K-State was in on some of those top guys, but that's just not going to be the case with, you know, the way K-State goes out and recruits, and that's fine. It's a system that's worked for them.
I think that your answer would be different if they had gotten Evan Fields yesterday and he hadn't put on a K-State hat like halfway and then taken it off and put on Arizona State. I think that's the real problem here.
I did watch that, you know, quickly glanced in and saw that, you know, I did, you know, I don't get that. You know, they love to do that. It's not something. I've never been a Division I athlete that was recruited, so never been through that experience. But you know what, I think K-State will be okay in the secondary at the safety position after tomorrow when we see some of these signings come through.
Yeah, I think so too. We'll get into that a little bit more here in a few minutes. But starting with K-State basketball, the Wildcats lose at Tennessee over the weekend in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. The loss, at least from a computer standpoint, is not as bad as maybe you would have anticipated it would have been at the beginning of the year. Tennessee isn't a great team by any means, but the computers respect them a lot, and they are a top 50 team. But does that do anything to numb the pain of losing another road game for you, Cole?
You know, probably not. And honestly, Tyler, I mean, the reason why I say that is just because of the way K-State played. You know, I thought, you know, they had opportunities last week to really start to put their stamp on their NCAA tournament resume, you know, possibly winning at least one of those two. I didn't expect them to go 2-0, but I thought maybe they could get to 1-1. And the way they came out in the first half of each of those games with such lackluster effort and performance was just frustrating to watch, especially the Tennessee game. I mean, Iowa State can get hot like that, and then they're tough to stop, especially in that arena. But the Tennessee game, I mean, K-State just was getting manhandled on the glass by one of the smallest teams in the country. And, you know, rebounding, there's fundamentals to that, but it's also an effort issue, and that's what was disconcerting to me. But when you do look at the overall resume, you know, when we talked last week on the air, I asked you if I thought, you know, K-State would be in the tournament if they lost both games. My answer was no. Now, obviously, Joe Lunardi actually bumped them up to a 9 seed on ESPN.com, you know, so you got two top R50 RPI losses, so it doesn't hurt you that much. But what's frustrating is it puts you in a situation once again where you're in a must-win situation the next game. And, you know, I think that's the disappointing thing, is they just have not gotten away from that all year. It continues to be a, you know, they have to win this game now, or else they're really in trouble. So that's what's frustrating. They have to beat TCU tomorrow night, and that's the disappointing thing.
Yeah, it is frustrating, and especially going into that game against TCU, because you feel like if you lose that game, then you're staring down the barrel of a potential six-game losing streak, and typically teams that lose six games in a row do not end up dancing in March. Cole, talking about the first half of that game against Tennessee, I could have understood that K-State would struggle a little bit on the glass if you would have told me that, you know, Dean Wade wasn't going to be 100% and some of the other injury problems that they're having right now. But to me, maybe the most disappointing aspect was the performance of DJ Johnson. What do you think was the issue there and his inability to establish himself the same way in this game that he has most of the games this year?
You know, I think DJ tends to get frustrated sometimes, and you know, he's not really a complainer. He doesn't complain to the officials, you know, too much, but I felt like against Tennessee that he got frustrated early on in that game, and that kind of affected the rest of his effort the rest of that game. And you know, on the defensive side, Tennessee is a tough team for him to defend because they play small and they drag you out. The same thing with Iowa State. But DJ Johnson's, you know, kind of struggled, really, if we're looking at it, the last couple games. He's really gotten off to slow starts, especially against Iowa State and Tennessee. And so that's the disappointing thing, especially when you look at the Iowa State game, too. You know, going from Tennessee to Iowa State, you know, a few days earlier, is you got an Iowa State team that really struggles to defend inside. And K-State, you know, didn't really make much of an effort to get the ball inside DJ Johnson early in that game. And it was kind of the same thing against Tennessee. And so part of it's on DJ Johnson, and part of it's on his teammates for not, you know, assertively getting the ball in there and making that a point of emphasis to get the ball to DJ Johnson. Yeah, he's got to post up better, but usually he's pretty good about posting up strong and finding a way to finish in there. But I just think his teammates have to do a better job of getting him the basketball inside and getting him going early. Because I think if you can get him going early, his confidence builds, and then, you know, everything goes much better for the offense. And I think that's one of the keys. When he struggles, the offense seems to struggle.
Talking with Cole Manbeck, our Powercat Game Day blogger, another question on basketball, and then we'll switch things up a little bit. Cole, talking about tomorrow's game against TCU, I've had a chance to watch a little bit of TCU this year, maybe not as much as a lot of other Big 12 teams. It's kind of harder to find them on TV, but K-State is the more talented team. I feel like this is a game that they should be able to win without too much complication, but it's not the TCU that we've seen the last three or four years. How do you see tomorrow's game playing out?
One of the challenges that you have, Tyler, tomorrow with TCU is, you know, K-State's kind of a desperate team. Well, TCU's a desperate team as well. They've lost four games in a row. You know, they're projected to go to the NCAA tournament just a week ago. I haven't checked to see if they're still projected.
They are in the last four in right now.
Okay. So see, they know they need this game. You know, they need to win one on the road, win another one on the road. They've already won one this year in Big 12 play away from home. So this could be a game that kind of really puts them over the top and puts them back in contention, you know, into feeling good about an NCAA tournament spot, because their next two games after this are at home and they're both winnable. So they can put themselves in a good situation and rebound. So they're going to be kind of a desperate team. They don't want to lose five in a row. They have more talent. Brad Deonti inside is a tremendous player. He's not your, you know, he's kind of your international post player where he can really face up and shoot it, but he's got great hands. I've actually watched them play a few games this year. I watched them play Auburn on Saturday, which was certainly a surprise to see them struggle so much against Auburn at home. But Brad Zionski can really catch the ball. He makes some difficult catches in traffic, and he finishes extremely well in the post. He's a good free throw shooter, so really it starts with him. He's going to bring a challenge to K-State defensively. And then they have a good point guard to transfer from Texas A&M, and Robinson. Jalen Fisher is actually one of the highest-rated recruits that TCU has ever landed, and he's a true freshman point guard, but he's been struggling a little bit. But they have some talent, and Jamie Dixon's teams are tough, and they're going to get after you, and they're usually going to defend. And then Kenridge Williams is one of the best rebounders in the conference. He's actually number one in the conference in rebounding. So, look, they're going to get after it. They're going to play hard. You can count on that. So they'll bring some fight to K-State. So it's a key game for both teams. I think K-State will win, The spread is 7. You know, I think this will be a game decided by 8 or 9 points, but I think K-State will pull it out by 8 or 9.
Well, they need to if they need to, or if they're going to stay on the right side of the bubble. There's no doubt about that. A couple of questions for you about K-State recruiting-wise. We're going to have our Powercat Game Day recruiting special on the air tomorrow at 3 o'clock. K-State has missed out on a couple of their key targets in the last couple weeks. That's the bad news. The good news is that they actually have found some decent names to throw in there to replace them late. Over the weekend, they get commitments from two-star defensive backs Isaiah Stewart and Antonio Oliver. They also got the news coming out yesterday about the JUCO transfer linebacker Daquan Patton. How does this class just in general stack up with what K-State fans have typically seen under Bill Snyder?
I think it's right there. I mean, I think it's pretty consistent with what we've seen in the past. You know, they really emphasized early on in this class some in-state offensive linemen. So I think they put themselves in a good situation there by landing several offensive linemen and then a couple D-tackles. And Eli Huggins, the kid out of Georgia, who I think is an underrated talent that might have a chance to play as a true freshman because he's already enrolled and got here for spring ball. So he's on K-State's campus. And he's 6'4", 285. He can move and show some flexibility on film. I'm not a scout by any means when I tell you guys this, but you know, I do go and I like to watch these guys' highlights, and their highlights for a reason. It usually highlights the best. They don't put their bad plays on film, so you usually see the best. But I think they landed some talented pieces, and I think they got some steals. And you talked about Daquan Patton. You know, I think that's a kid that obviously they snuck into campus here. He's here for spring ball. That's a huge help, kind of in that Elijah Lee mold, not as tall, but fast linebacker that can kind of play that weak side spot and drop back into coverage as well. So that's a big help to a linebacker position where you have some inexperience coming back next year in terms of starting experience. And then, you know, a couple guys that I really love is Shabastin Taylor, a big physical wide receiver out of Texas who I just feel like was extremely under-recruited. When you look at his film, he can really run. He's physical. Really excited about him. And it's exciting, you know, thinking about the wide receiver position next year. And I'm not saying Taylor's going to get on the field because there's a lot of guys in front of him, but to have those big physical bodies that K-State hasn't had in several years at the receiver position between Carlos Strickland and Pringle, you know, Zuber's not a small guy by any means, and on, Corey Sutton, that's what's exciting. And then lastly, you know, the secondary, I think that's one of the keys. Isaiah Stewart is a big steal. You know, I think them getting him last weekend at the safety position, he also played nickel, is a big bonus. And then obviously the big one tomorrow is Elijah Walker and where he goes.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Probably two or three other guys that are really critical guys that are going to be committing tomorrow. K-State doesn't know for sure exactly how things are going to shake out with them, but Elijah Walker, Daniel Green, also a four-star inside linebacker. He just tweeted that he'll be committing tomorrow, and he's choosing between Ole Miss, Utah, and K-State. He's the 10th-rated linebacker in the country coming out of high school, so a couple of big pieces the K-State could secure late to really help nail things down. Cole, one more question before we let you go. I guess you kind of answered it in a way when you were talking about some of those other guys, but who from this class do you think has the biggest chance to make an on-field appearance in 2017?
That's a good question, and I think the most physically ready to get out on the field is Anthony Payne, a defensive end out of the Kansas City metro area. I think he's a guy that certainly has a shot. Look, Anthony Payne is really well put together. He's a really good football player. And, you know, I just think from a physical strength standpoint, he's a guy that could get on the field this year as a true freshman. Shabastin Taylor, I mentioned how high I am on him, but I just think there's too many receivers in front of him with experience and talent that it'll be hard for him to get past them. So I would assume he would probably redshirt this year, but he's a guy that I like, you know, down the road. And then Eli Huggins, a guy that's already on campus, the DN, D-tackle, I think he's a guy that certainly has a shot. And then, you know, we'll go from there. We'll see what Elijah Walker does tomorrow. But, you know, I think there's a good chance K-State lands him, the safety out of California and the JUCO ranks. And if he commits to K-State and signs with the Wildcats tomorrow, then I think he certainly is a guy that has the most impact on this recruiting class because that's the biggest area of need. K-State has really emphasized recruiting the safeties in this class.
Cole, really appreciate the time this afternoon. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Tyler.
That is Cole Manbeck, our PowerCat Game Day blogger, with some good stuff there on K-State basketball and the K-State recruiting class. PowerCat Game Day recruiting special gets started at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Bill Snyder will be having a press conference at the Vanier Football Complex at 2:30. I'll be there live tweeting what the coach of the Wildcats has to say about the new crop of guys that's coming into the fold with his program. Going to head to our first break of the second hour. When we come back, getting everyone up to speed on what exactly happened over the weekend with K-State recruiting. Also coming up later on, the Oakland Raiders may be stuck in Oakland, and you can't be serious to close out the game. This is The Game on News Radio KMAN.